Laughter in the Dark by Vladimir Nabokov.
There lived in Berlin a man called Albert Albinus. He was rich, respectable, happy. One day, he abandoned his wife for the sake of a youthful mistress. He loved, was not loved, and his life ended in disaster. It happened one morning, as I was lying in bed with my sleeping wife, that I had a beautiful idea. I was an art critic at the time, you see, with a great passion for the cinema. How fascinating it would be, I thought, if one could reproduce on the screen, in vivid colours, some well-known masterpiece, and then bring it to life. I tried to get several men at the cinema interested in my project, but they dismissed the idea. Eventually, I was told of a clever young fellow called Axel Rex. He had designed a Persian fairy tale in Paris, which had delighted the critics and ruined the man who had financed it. I wrote to him, care of America, and with surprising speed I received his response. He said it was hopeless trying to seduce the Hollywood people, and suggested that I, being a man of means, should finance the film myself. Axel Rex. His name reminded me of an axe. But on this particular March day, I'm in such a state of irritation, confusion, misery, that I think, what do I care about this Axel Rex? I stare across the room to where Elizabeth sits reading, our 8-year-old daughter devouring a plateful of chocolate cream at her feet, and think, I'm going mad. And nobody even knows it.
Daddy, do I have chocolate tea?
Quiet, dear. Let Daddy work in peace.
Tomorrow, I will return to the cinema and see her again. The exquisite little usher with the sleepy brown eyes. She will guide me through the labyrinth of seats as if I am a blind man and she my guide. And then I will sit there like a fool in the darkness, oblivious to everything in the room but her. And afterwards, I will see her. I will speak to her.
Still raining.
Do you want my umbrella? You could return it on Tuesday.
Oh, don't worry about that, darling. I like the rain.
Well, goodbye then, Margot.
Goodbye.
As soon as I leave the cinema, I see a tall, strange man standing outside.
Hello. I've seen you before.
Hello.
There is a pale, morbid, interesting look about him. He stares at me with hungry blue eyes. As before, he's perfectly dressed.
Look at yourself. You're drenched.
Am I?
Like a dog.
I...
Is there something wrong? You see, I really must be going. I have an aunt. She'll be angry if I'm late.
Please, don't go.
Let go. That hurt. Look, you've made a red mark on my wrist.
Oh, I'm so sorry, but I have no one in the world but you.
I think you must be crazy.
Please, I only want to talk to you. Will you come with me to a cafe? To that one over there. There are so many things I have to say.
Well, perhaps for a minute or two. But you must promise to be a good boy. Otherwise I'm leaving.
Of course I promise. I'll promise anything you like.
Come, let me take off your coat. We can sit over there, in the corner.
I like it here. Oh, do you think I could have some cake? The bee sting, perhaps. I like the sound of that.
Of course you can. You can have whatever you want.
Good. Well, I want that and a large hot chocolate with lots of cream.
Of course.
You don't know how happy I am to be sitting here with you. You have such a radiant, beautiful face and lovely, Luini-esque eyes.
What?
Luini, he's a painter. I'm an art critic, you see.
You are? So what do you do? Look up pictures all day?
Yes, and I write about them too.
How silly. You've been staring at me for days with your bobble eyes. The boy in the ticket box and me, we had quite a laugh about it. Haven't you got a home to go to? I don't even know your name.
My name is Albert. Albert Schiffermiller. You're Margot, aren't you? The boy in the ticket box, he said your name.
Yes, I'm Margot. You may shake my hand if you like.
What are you smiling at?
Oh, nothing. It's just... I could get used to this.
And so you shall, my dear. So you shall.
How stupid men are. His eyes have tears in them as he takes my hand. And we've only just met.
I return home to find that nothing has changed. Little Irma runs up to me clutching a fistful of marbles, which she carefully places in my hand. She steps back and smiles as I bend down to kiss her pale, lumpy forehead, a thing I do whenever I come home. Today she smells of something odd. Sour milk, perhaps?
Daddy, do you think I could stay up tonight?
You must ask your mother, my child.
Elizabeth is going through my mail when I enter the sitting room. It's a little ritual of ours to discuss my correspondence before dinner.
Still raining?
Still raining.
You were out late, my dear.
Yes. Anything interesting?
Vesterman is asking for money again. Says his wife and mother-in-law have been ill. Says he can't afford to buy paints. We'll have to help him again, I suppose.
Yes, of course. Is there any of that port left?
A little, I think. And there's an invitation to the Artist Club. We'll have to go this time, Albert. And there's a letter from America.
America? Read it out. Yeah, my dear, make up your mind. On Daddy's lap or off it?
On it, on it!
Now, please, sit still.
My dear sir, I'm afraid I haven't much news to convey, but there are
still
a few things
I should like to add to my last long letter, which, in the absence of pirates, hurricanes and any other such contingencies, you will perhaps have received by now. As it happens, I find that I will be returning from America sooner than expected, and my intention is to get down to the matter we discussed as soon as I arrive in Germany.
Ah, yes, it's that young cartoonist fellow, Axel Rex. Emma, my love, please don't pull on Daddy's beard. But I'm not sure I'll go ahead with my idea. I think it's going to turn out too expensive.
Which idea was that, Albert?
What? Have you just dropped down from the moon? Surely you remember my film idea and the fellow who's coming over from America, Axel Rex?
Oh, I think I remember now. But there are so many letters, dear.
Irma, darling, please put down that spoon. Daddy has had a very long day.
Daddy's in a mood.
And where's Frieda? Shouldn't she have served dinner by now?
But we were waiting for you, Albert. It was most unlike you not... I wonder who that could be. It's rather late, isn't it?
I'll get it. Hello?
Good evening, Albert. It wasn't very nice of you to give me a false name, you know. But I forgive you. You see, as we were leaving, I looked inside your hat.
Who is this?
Oh, Albert. Isn't this a nice surprise? You don't sound very happy.
Wrong number.
Albert? Are you all right? Why, you've turned bright red.
Absurd. Utterly absurd. That's the 10th wrong call in 10 days. Now, where did you put that letter?
Which one, dear?
Good God, the letter from America! What other letter could I be talking about?
Oh, Albert. I do dislike it when you're cross. Perhaps it's because we've delayed dinner. I shall ask Frieda to serve it at once. And as for you, my love, I think it's time for bed.
Can Daddy read me the story about the squirrels again?
No, darling, not tonight.
Oh, dear. Let me get it.
No, it's all right. You go and talk to Frieda. Hello? Vesterman. We were just reading your letter. It's Vesterman, dear. You go on through to dinner. I'll be with you in a moment. You poor fellow. It sounds like you've been having a difficult time. Yes. Well, look here, child. I forbid you to ring me up like this. It won't do.
If I didn't give you my name, I had my reasons for it.
Oh, that's all right, Albert. I was just phoning to tell you that I can never see you again.
What?
I can never see you again. I'm not used to men who follow me around like dogs. And then when you give them the time of day, immediately start lying.
No. Please forgive me. Don't be upset, Margot. I can't live without you. Don't you see that? Look here. I've been thinking it over. Drop your job. I'm rich. You shall have your own flat. Anything you like.
No. You're a liar, Albert. And you're married. That's why you dropped your wedding ring into your coat pocket.
Well, what if I am married? It's you I love, Margot. Please, you must understand this.
Goodbye, Albert.
What can I do to make you understand?
All men are cowards.
Margot, listen to me. It's true, I do have a wife, but please stop jeering at me like this.
Go to hell.
Hello? Hello? Margot, hello?
Say, what time will wifey be away from home?
I'm afraid I don't know. Why?
I'd like to drop in for a moment.
I can't go on talking.
If I come, I might kiss you.
Oh, God. Margot, but it's too risky.
Okay, then. Goodbye.
Darling, don't go, please.
Well, then, when can I see you?
I'll come to you tomorrow.
Oh, Albert, I thought you were more daring.
I am. Just give me a chance.
Well, then tell me when wifey's away.
But it's so risky. You see, tomorrow, for instance, I'll be alone from about 4 to 6, but one never knows what might happen.
But I've told you that I'd kiss you. And then, you know, there's not a thing in the world that can't be explained away somehow.
Hello? Hello? Margot? I spend most of the day pacing my study, staring at the clock. I make some phone calls in the pretense that it will keep me sane, but whenever I think of Margot's slim, girlish figure, that silky skin between her shoulder blades, those ill-kept little hands, I feel a rush of desire that is almost painful. Yet at the same time, I dread her arrival. Perhaps she'll be hit by a car, I find myself thinking as I stuff tobacco into my pipe. You came. I'm glad.
Hello, darling. You can kiss me if you like.
Good God, Margot, not here. Come inside. She smiles into the hall mirror and twirls around on her heel. Behind her, I see the reflection of a pale, grave gentleman with an absurd expression on his face. While I'm still preparing my request for that kiss, she slips past me and disappears into the house.
Well, aren't you going to show me around?
Heavens, Albert! You do live in style. What rugs!
I stumble after her through room after room as her eyes take in every picture, every crystal chandelier.
Gosh, Albert, are those plates genuine silver? Or are they fake?
Oh, genuine, my dear.
As she gazes at the silver in the dining room sideboard, I feel her ribs stealthily. I finger a hot, soft muscle.
Let me go.
It's only the nursery, my darling. There's nothing to see. Please don't touch anything.
But she's already holding the plush purple elephant I gave Irma last week. I snatch it away and shove it in a corner.
Your little girl's in clover here.
Oh, Albert. Is this where you sleep? What a large room you have.
Come back here. We're getting too far from the hall. We shan't hear the front door.
I follow her into the room and see her seated in front of the mirror with Elizabeth's silverback brush in her hand. This is an outrage, of course.
Margot, please!
Oh, Albert, darling, have you seen my knickerbockers? Are you sure you haven't been wearing them again? I know what you're like.
Margot, for God's sake, stop it. Come along, we really must go through to the study now.
Albert, be a good boy.
Margot, please! Margot,
please open the door.
Margot, open. What an absurd situation.
Open at once! Do you hear? Open this door!
Hello? Master Albert?
Frida?
Are you locked in, sir? Shall I let you out? Sir, is everything all right?
Oh, a ridiculous thing. Is my wife at home?
She's just coming up with Irma, sir.
Oh, good, good.
Sir, how is it that you got locked in?
What? Oh, nothing. Door must have jammed. I'd say, what's my wife's hairbrush doing on the floor? Can't you at least pick it up?
Oh, it must have been Irma, sir.
As soon as Frida's back is turned, I head off to the library, the only room Margot could have escaped to undetected. And there, in the far corner between the bookshelves, I see a piece of red fabric sticking out. Margot's dress. But there is no time. Elizabeth is approaching. I close the library door on Margot.
Daddy, Daddy, Daddy!
Hello, Albert, dear.
Lizzie.
A funny expression.
Yes.
Had a good day?
Daddy, Daddy!
Yes, Emma, what is it?
I'm still waiting for my kiss.
Oh.
The evening is a nightmare. Margot's presence in the house is monstrous, unbearable. Somehow, I never manage to get a moment alone so I can go through to the library. At any moment, I realize Margot could simply step into this room and all would be lost.
Are you coming up to bed, Albert? You seem so restless tonight.
You get to sleep, my dear. I think I'll read a bit.
All right. Try not to wake me when you come.
I wait until the house is quiet, but it seems too silent to be natural. The silence is rising, as if it will suddenly brim over and break into laughter. It's strange, too, but all the dread seems to have drained away. I make my way through to the library.
Margot?
Oh, Margot. I've wanted to come to you. In the corner of the room between the bookshelves, I see the piece of red fabric sticking out exactly as it was before. Margot is standing quite still. I approach her quietly, filled with that keen, sweet sensation particular to sinful dreams. Margot, my love. But then I discover my mistake. The fabric is only a scarlet cushion, which I myself put there a few days previously, to crouch on while reading Nonnenmacher's History of Art, 10 volumes, folio. As for Margot, inexplicably and miraculously, she seems to have vanished. Within a week, Margot has agreed to rent an unfurnished flat in the suburbs. Somewhere, I tell her, where we can be alone. Although I pay up handsomely, I give the money on trust, for not only have I not seen her new home, I don't even know its address. Margot tells me she only wants me to see it when the furnishings are complete. Another week passes. I think she'll ring me on the Saturday, so for the whole day, I mount guard over the telephone, but it gleams and is mute. By the Monday, I start to believe that she's deceived me, that she's vanished forever. With the help of the people at the cinema, I manage to track down her new address.
That was quick.
You don't seem very surprised to see me. Guess how I found out your new address?
I wrote you my address.
It was rather amusing, especially since you've been pulling my leg with that ready-made aunt of yours. Aren't you going to give me a proper kiss?
What? But I wrote you my address in the top right-hand corner, quite clearly.
In the top corner? What on earth are you talking about?
Surely you got my letter.
I sit down next to her, wondering why a muffled booming sound has started up inside my head.
What letter?
What letter? I sent you a letter this morning. I thought you'd get it by the evening post and come to see me straight away.
You didn't.
Of course I did. And I can tell you exactly what I wrote.
Darling Albert, the wee nest is ready and Birdie is waiting for you. Only don't hug me too hard or you'll turn the birdie's head forever. That's about all.
God, what have you done? I left home before I could possibly get it. The postman, he doesn't come until 7:45. It's now...
Well, that's no fault of mine, Albert. Really, you are hard to please. It was such a sweet letter.
You've shattered...
Stop being ridiculous. Go and find the postman and retrieve the letter.
It's too late, too late. She reads all my letters.
Well, you ought to have forbidden her to do that.
Marco, you don't understand. It was always like that. A habit, a pleasure. I can't imagine what she'll do now. If... By a miracle. Perhaps she was busy with something. Perhaps... No.
Albert?
Yes?
Come here.
I take his downcast, twitching face into my hands, my body tingling pleasantly. It's time to act, I suppose.
Oh.
Images from the previous night flash before my eyes as I return home. The moment she drew her shoulder blades together and purred as I kissed the downy back of her neck.
Oh, Albert, stop that. Your beard tickles.
And afterwards, the way she slipped out of bed and pranced about the room, swinging her girlish hips and gnawing on a dry roll left over from supper. I feel mortified and quietly ecstatic. It was the night I've been dreaming of for years. But now the reckoning is to begin.
Oh, sir, they went away last night.
Morning, Frieda. Where did they go?
Oh, sir, it was terrible. Madam screamed and Madam screamed and Madam screamed. She collapsed then, sir. It was like Madam was sleeping. Then, when she woke again, Madam screamed again and screamed. I've never heard such a thing, sir. I thought she would die. There was no air in her. She couldn't breathe.
Yes.
Can I take your hat and stick, sir? Will you be having some coffee?
No, thank you. So there's no one at home?
No, sir. They've gone to Madam's brother, sir, Master Paul.
The disorder of the bedroom tells its tale. Elizabeth's evening gowns lie on the bed. One drawer of the chest is pulled out. The little portrait of my late father-in-law has vanished from the table. Corner of the rug is turned up. I find Margot's note in my study amongst my open letters. Childish handwriting. Bad spelling. Bad spelling. I also find a note from Axel Rex and an invitation from the Dryers. How nice. Within 2 months, Margot has installed herself in my flat. She promptly clears everything out of the nursery and turns it into a ping-pong room. She and Frieda loathe each other from the start.
I'm sorry, sir. But I will not spend another day in this house as long as that young madam is here. Madam Elizabeth would never have spoken to me like this. I can't stand it, sir. I have my dignity. I would never have thought this could happen. Not to you, sir.
Frieda, please.
I'm sorry, sir. It's just, there are limits.
It is with the departure of Frieda that my isolation begins. Almost immediately, the predators appear. The first of these is Margot's brother, Otto.
Running at Zion, the Fuhrer creates 60,000 new jobs. Read all about it, sweetheart.
No, thank you.
Berlin at Zion, the Fuhrer promises a new Germany.
Oh, glad to meet you, little sister. Not very nice of you to forget your folks.
Let go.
How fine you look, really, quite the young lady.
Ow, you're hurting me.
Get out of here.
This is the third day I've been watching you. I know where you live.
What is it you want?
Come on, let's go into the bar here.
No. Otto, let go.
Come on. Let's sit here by the window.
Good morning, sir.
Hello.
We'd like two beers. My sister will be paying.
Certainly, sir.
I notice you haven't changed.
Look here, Margot. There's no need to be ashamed of your people just because you've got a rich friend. On the contrary, you must think about us.
You don't know what you're talking about. It's quite different to what you think. As a matter of fact, we're engaged.
Here, give me your bag. And what have we got in here? Oh, yes. Here it is. 20 marks. That'll be enough for the beer.
Can I go now?
What? Don't you like sitting with your brother? My dear, you have changed a lot. But we've not yet come to an agreement.
You've stolen my money and now I'm going.
No question of stealing. This isn't your money, but money which you got hold of from some old Jew who sweated it out of us. So you better not talk about stealing. You, listen here, you.
He's not a Jew.
Shut up and listen. Get some cash from your friend for us, for the family. 100 will do.
And suppose I don't?
Then we'll have our sweet revenge. Oh, we know all about you. Engaged. That's a good one.
All right. I'll get it. Is that all? Can I go now?
Good girl. What's the hurry? Besides, we ought to see a little more of each other. How about taking a trip to the lake someday, eh? Just the two of us. Have you already forgotten about that? You were quite the little tart even then. You shouldn't give yourself such airs.
I have to go.
The first I hear of Margot's brother is when she returns home.
What's the matter, my love?
Oh, Albert, now you'll leave me. You see, I've deceived you. I've deceived you terribly. First of all, my father was not a painter. He's still alive. He's a porter. My mother polishes the banisters and my brother's a common workman, one of those socialists. Oh, I've had a hard, hard childhood. I was flogged, tied up, tortured.
My angel.
No, don't kiss me. You must know all. I escaped from home. I earned money as a model. A terrible old woman exploited me. Then I had a love affair. He was married like you, and his wife wouldn't divorce him, so I left him. Then I was pestered by an old banker. He offered his whole fortune to me, but of course I refused him. He died of a broken heart. Then I got that job at the cinema.
Oh, my poor, poor hunted bunny.
Her white breasts shudder at the hideous memory of it all, and my vision swims briefly. I kiss a single tear from her cheek. I lick my lips.
You don't really despise me? I'm so glad you don't.
How I want her. Perhaps more than I have ever wanted her.
But let me tell you the worst part. My brother has found out where we live. I met him today and he demands money, trying to blackmail me because he thinks you know nothing about my past, I mean.
There, there, my bunny, quiet now.
I let him kiss me and smile through my tears, which is difficult because there are no more tears to smile through. Christ, Albert, be careful. I'm sure it's him.
But do we really have to answer it?
Of course we do. He'll only keep coming back.
Well, don't fret, my dear. If you want me to, I shall speak to him. You go on through to the bedroom. I'll come to you when he's gone.
Before me stands a youth with coarse, wolfish features, yet he resembles Margot strikingly. He's wearing his Sunday suit with the end of his tie tucked into his shirt.
I must talk to you about my sister. I'm Margot's brother.
And why to me particularly, may I ask?
You are Herr... Herr...
Schiffermiller.
Well, Herr Schiffermiller, I happen to see you with my sister, so I thought it would perhaps interest you if I... If we...
Certainly, but why stand in the doorway? Please, come inside.
What I want to say is this, Herr Schiffermiller. My sister is young and innocent. Mother hasn't slept a single night since our little Margot left home. She's only 15, you know. Don't believe her if she says she's older. Let me tell you, we're decent people. My father's an old soldier. It's a very, very unpleasant situation. I don't know what amends can be made.
Now listen, my good fellow, there seems to be some mistake. My fiancée told me...
Oh, no. You're not going to make me believe you'll marry her. When a man wants to marry a respectable girl, he talks to her family about it. A little more care and a little less pride, Herr Schiffer Miller.
You'd better stop. I know exactly how things stand. It is no concern of yours. Now, please go.
You'll regret this. You mark my words, Herr Schiffer Miller. You'll live to regret this.
Go, or I'll kick you out.
At that moment, he so closely resembles Margot when she sulks that I find myself hastily producing a 10-mark note and pressing it into his hand. Then, before he can say anything else, I close the door.
Oh, Albert, kiss me. Is it true what you said to him? Will you really marry me?
Oh, what's the use in that, my love? I can't divorce Elizabeth now, not while she's so upset. And what about Irma? We have to think about her.
What utter rubbish!
Please, Margot, I'll do anything for you, anything but that. You must be patient. In time, we shall see.
Before he can say another word, I throw myself on the sofa.
The back of her red dress is thrown back, so I can see the length of a golden thigh and the beginning of her knickers. They are a pale blue, the colour of... Is it a cuckoo's egg? Very carefully, I place my hand on her thigh.
But I pull it away from his touch.
Listen, my love, I'll tell you what we'll do. You said the other day that you wanted to be an actress. Good. As I said before, I know a lot of people in the cinema world, so we shall have a party, and I shall finance a film for you. Just dry those tears, my little dove.
Oh, Albert.
But remember, I don't want them to know that you live with me.
Oh, they'll all know that.
But that would place you, and not me, in a false position, don't you see? You should leave at the end of the evening with the other guests and then come back when they're gone. You must be Herr Rex.
Yes, and you must be Herr Albinus. How glad I am to meet you, as they say, in the flesh.
I had formed quite a different picture of Axel Rex. I had imagined him as short and plump with horn-rimmed glasses, but his name still reminded me of an axe.
Can I offer you some champagne?
That would be lovely.
Herr Schwartz, this is Axel Rex, the young man whose cartoons make two continents laugh. He's just come over from America, but I hope he will be remaining in Germany for good. Herr Rex, this is Herr Schwartz, the film director.
Delighted.
Yes, indeed.
And this, Herr Rex, is the great actress Frau Karenina. Frau Karenina, this is the man who makes two continents laugh.
An interesting choice of stage name, Frau Karenina.
You think so? As it happens, the boy who suggested it committed suicide.
Ah, no wonder. You have read Tolstoy?
Doll's Toy? No, I'm afraid not. Why?
Oh, no matter.
Your champagne, Herr Rex. Oh,
thank you. By the way, Herr Albinus...
Oh, please do call me Albert. I feel we're already friends.
Yes, of course. And you must call me Rex. All my friends simply call me Rex. Well then, I happened to read on the boat your biography of Sebastiano del Piombo. I thought it excellent. Oh. Although, I felt it was a pity you didn't quote the sonnets.
Yes, but they are so poor.
Exactly! But that is what's so charming!
Ah, Margot, you've arrived at last. Come and meet Herr Axel Rex, a great artist. Rex, please allow me to introduce Fräulein Peters.
A pleasure.
Axel Rex? He stands there, smiling. His red lips glistening as if he's just drunk blood. I remember everything about him. Everything. His dusty black hair, looking a bit like a wig, is brushed carelessly back, exactly as it was when I knew him. Although he'd called himself Miller then, not Rex. And he'd somehow managed to conceal the fact that he was a famous artist. He holds my fingers very lightly in his fingers. He lifts my hand to his mouth and, very quickly, like a snake drinking, he touches my skin with his tongue.
Pleased to meet you, Herr Rex.
You know, a certain man once lost a cufflink in the wide blue sea, and 20 years later he was eating a large fish, and there was no diamond inside. That is what I like about coincidence.
Come, why don't we go through to dinner?
By the time the cigars are being lit, the talk around the table is in full swing. And yet there is something about the atmosphere in the room that seems to me incoherent, as if a small crack has appeared at some point in the evening, a crack that everyone is managing to ignore. The only person present who seems wholly at ease is Axel Rex, who has so far managed to offend almost everyone in the room with a grace I cannot help admiring.
A good writer talking about India might write something like, "Before turning in, I put my wet boots out to dry, and in the morning I find a thick blue forest growing upon them." Fungi, madame.
Ah.
And at once India comes alive for me. The rest is shop.
How clever you are. But I hear those yogis do marvellous things. Apparently, they can breathe in such a way.
The writer must illuminate the picture thoroughly so that the reader can understand.
What matters is not the book one writes, but the problem it sets and solves. Were I to make a film about India, I would be bound to approach my subject from its most important side, the exploitation of the white colonist, when you think of the millions and millions.
Well, I don't.
So, Fräulein Peters, Herr Albinus has made me very excited by the prospect of working with you. A young woman of your charms could go far in the world of cinema.
Thank you, Herr Schwartz.
No doubt we'll finalise matters on Wednesday morning. I must say, however, that you are most fortunate to have acquired the patronage of Herr Albinus. He and his dear wife are forever helping young artists in need, like our friend over here.
Herr Schwartz, you are too kind.
But, Herr Albinus, I'm sorry to say that it really is time that Doriana and I made our way home. We have an extremely busy day tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Fräulein Peters, do you live nearby?
Yes.
Fate is on our side, then. Shall we walk together?
If you like.
Yes, it's been lovely to see you again.
And you too, Herr... Herr
Albinus, my dear.
Well, Margot, fancy running across you again. How on earth did you end up there?
Leave me alone.
Look at me. Yes, I'm not sure you've grown any prettier, but I like you all the same. For heaven's sake, say something. Where would you rather go? To my place or yours?
Go away!
What's the matter with you?
Leave me alone!
Tell me, Margot, how comes it that that pop-eyed imbecile up there is your lover? Ah, don't tell me. You want him to pay for your film with that Schwartz. That ring is very sharp. So, are you living with him? Yes, of course you are. Funny, the last time I saw you, you were still wearing that tatty red dress and living with that old witch, Frau Lewandowski. Tell me, are those real diamonds around your throat?
If you have to know, we're very happy together. He says he's going to divorce his wife and marry me.
Oh, don't be ridiculous. Of course he won't. If I were you, I'd use him for what he's worth, and then I'd drop him before he drops you. Oh, he may believe he's in love with you and all that. That's just a matter of time.
Go away.
Won't you let me kiss you? In my way, I was very fond of you, you know.
No. Go away.
That night, we make love as we have never made love before. As if Margot is another woman, and I another man. I agree to see my lawyer on Monday about a divorce. My little lamb comes to me and whispers such words of tender filth into my ear as I have never heard before. Later the following morning, I am surprised by the arrival of Axel Rex.
I must apologise for the informality of my visit.
Oh, not at all, my dear man. Do come through. Have a drink.
He follows me through to the sitting room where he sees Margot's silver dress from last night draped over the back of a divan. He doesn't seem the least surprised.
Tell me, Albert, is Fräulein Peters a relative of yours? I thought she left with the others last night.
Well, Rex, I might as well come out with it and tell you. You see, she's my mistress.
Well, she's charming, I'm sure. And I appreciate your honesty, Albert. For my part, I may as well confess that I'm of the other persuasion. I prefer Ganymede, the ivory-limbed, brown-eyed boy, to Callisto and all those giggling virgins.
Really?
Well, of course, I don't condemn you. In a shopkeeper, it would repel me, but in an artist, it's quite different. Quite likeable, in fact, and romantic. Romance coming from Greece and Rome. Nevertheless, I can assure you that you lose a great deal.
Perhaps. But you see, even a woman of Fräulein Peter's obvious charms leaves me cold.
Did you... Margot, as you see, we have a visitor. Herr Rex.
Fräulein Peters.
My landlady, Frau Lewandowski, had introduced me to Axel Rex. And since then I've forgotten nothing about him. Not one thing. Even now, as I glare at him across the room, the taste of him suddenly seems to fill my mouth.
Rex, I don't know whether or not you gathered last night, but we'll soon be seeing a certain someone on the screen.
Really? Well, I realized last night what a talented actress Fräulein Peters must be. What other films has she appeared in?
This is her debut.
Oh, I see.
Well, let me go through to arrange lunch. You'll be joining us, I hope?
I would be delighted.
What are you doing here? Do you know how awkward this is?
Nonsense. I couldn't keep my mind off him.
You'll upset everything I've worked so hard to get.
Listen, that old fool is not about to marry you.
Well, I spoke to him last night and he's agreed to see his lawyer on Monday.
You do work quickly. Divorce on Monday, your first film on Wednesday. What will happen by Friday?
You're going to spoil everything.
Oh, nonsense. We'll be very careful.
At the least provocation, at the least suspicion, he'll kill me or turn me out the house.
Kill you? That's a joke.
You're driving me mad.
Come to my place later. You must come. Don't be a fool. We'd be quick. You'd be home in an hour.
Shut up. I won't take any risks. I've been working to get him this far for months, and now he's ripe. Do you really expect me to throw it all up now, for you? At least he has money. And you jilted me.
Yes, but I've dashed back, haven't I? Come on. There's a fine view from my window when the blind is down.
No. Not yet.
Not yet? That sounds promising. Can I kiss you at least?
No. Not here. Later. Just let me get rid of him.
A delicious, long-lost shudder runs down my spine as he pulls me into his arms anyway. He smears my mouth with his slippery lips. He tastes me with his tongue. No, I won't let him escape. Not this time.
Good morning, Frieda. Is anyone up yet?
Not yet, madam. I've told Irma to stay in bed and rest. I'm afraid she has a touch of the flu.
Have you taken her temperature?
Yes, madam. It's up to 102.
102? Well, we better call the doctor.
Of course, madam. But, madam, what about you? You look as if you've just seen a ghost. Is something wrong?
Oh, it's just there's suddenly so much to worry about. And there's Master Albert, too. I keep having the most terrible feeling about him.
Yes, madam, I know. It's all on account of that girl.
Last night, I had the most awful dream. I was in a strange house with many rooms. I was walking around in the darkness looking for Albert. Eventually, I heard his voice in the next room, and then I realised that he was talking to her. Talking to her about me. And there was laughter in the dark. It was her, you see, Frieda. She was laughing at all of us.
Okay, let's try it again. Scene 12, take 3. Action! Oh, Christ. Cut!
Herr Schwartz, do those lamps have to be so bright? I can hardly see a thing.
Yeah, I'm afraid so. Now, listen, Margot, you really have to be more... What's the word? Miserable.
But my lover looks so pleased with himself.
Yes, because he thought you'd thrown yourself into the lake and he's delighted you're still alive.
But you said he didn't care about me.
Of course he doesn't, but you're the niece of the woman he does love and he doesn't want to be responsible for your death. Now, I want you to practice crying. Okay? Now, cry!
Elizabeth, she has a temperature of 104.
Do you think there's any danger?
It's difficult to know, but there could be, yes.
Clap, handies, clap.
handies till Daddy comes home. He will bring presents for Emma alone. Mummy, where's Daddy?
Quiet, my love. Try to get some rest.
When is Daddy coming home?
He's coming home soon. Just try to sleep now.
I think Daddy has gone to heaven. Do you think we can visit him, Mummy? Are you allowed to visit heaven?
Daddy has just gone away for a while, Emma. But he's coming back, and you'll see him soon.
I want my letters.
What letters, my love?
I want my letters from Daddy. Has he gone to America, Mummy? I want my letters from America.
Quiet now, Emma.
Doctor, no, I can't bear this for much longer. Can't you do something?
There's nothing I can do, Elizabeth. We just have to wait. But what about Albert? Can't you get hold of him?
No. I don't know, Doctor. I don't even know if he'll come.
Mummy, I want my letters.
I know, my love. I know you do.
Oh, for Christ's sake, Margot! I want you to howl! Howl it out!
I'm trying! Just give me a chance!
Excuse me, sir. Are you on your way up to see Herr Albinus?
Perhaps. Are you?
Well, I should tell you that he won't be receiving any visitors just now, sir. I'm afraid I have some very bad news for him.
Would you like to entrust me with your message?
No, thank you, sir. In fact, I think it would be better if you postponed your visit. Herr Albinus's little daughter is dying.
Dying? Oh, I very much doubt that.
I don't know who you are, sir, but I do not understand your persistence.
Oh, my name's Axel Rex, and I'm quite at home here. Hello, Margot, dear. Could you tell Albert that this woman would
sir?
Like to...
Sir!
It's
sir!
The daughter, Peter? Can you believe? They're claiming she's dying.
What is
the
rubbish! It's Emma, sir. She's extremely ill. You should come and see
her. They're lying to you. It's a trap to entice
Margot,
you back.
For goodness sake.
And what if I come with you?
Margot, enough!
Sir, are you coming or not?
Of course I must. Can't you see I must? Now, where's my wallet? Has anyone seen my wallet?
They're fooling you. I won't let you go.
Sir, she's asking for you. All she does is ask
if you
for
dare,
you.
Where's my wallet?
I've got it and I'm not giving it back.
Margot, please!
As I say, I'm quite at home here.
When I enter the darkened room, I can dimly make out my wife's fair hair and shawl. She's leaning forwards over the bed, a ghostly glass of something in her hand. On the windowsill, a bowl of oranges gleams. I stand there for what seems a long time, until the hospital nurse approaches Elizabeth, puts her arm around her shoulders, and leads her away into the dimness. Only then can I see, with agonizing distinctness, Irma's face. Her small, black nostrils, the yellowish gloss of her rounded forehead, the short, pale lip with bared front teeth. I step forward, wondering if she has recognized me. But then Elizabeth's brother comes between us and tells me she is dead. I'm quite alone with my sorrow. For how long have I sat in this chair and stared into space? And now it is the day of Margot's premiere. Rex is busying himself with a drawing of Margot. Margot is in a state of semi-undress.
You know, I didn't even go to her funeral.
Come now, Albert. You shouldn't torment yourself so. One can't build up one's life on the quicksands of misfortune. That is a sin against life. In my opinion, an artist must let himself be guided solely by his sense of beauty. That will never deceive him.
Oh, Rex! What rubbish you talk! Albert, you have to stop blaming yourself. How could you have given her pneumonia? Now answer me that. If anything, it's the fault of the doctor. Or of that useless maid who was supposed to be looking after her. Come, forget about it, just for today. Just for me. Come, let me kiss your silly old head. See? See? That's better. See?
Come, Margot. It's time to get dressed. We mustn't be late. Now, what have I done with my watch?
By the way, Margot, I've rented a room where we can meet undisturbed.
Rex!
I'll expect you there every day at 5.
What are you two whispering about?
Oh, I've just invited Margot to a rendezvous, but she won't come.
That's my Margot. She only ever does what pleases her.
My dear Margaret, such a pleasure.
Good evening, Doriana. My name is Margot.
We shall all look back on this day, Margot.
She was such an angel to work with. She charmed the entire crew.
You have been very good to her.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Would you like to take your seats? We shall be ready to run the film in only a few moments. Could we turn down the house lights, please?
Shh.
The title, Camera Obscura, and then the names unroll with a diffident quiver. The apparatus hums softly, like a distant vacuum cleaner.
In the darkness, I feel Rex's fingers raising the hem of my dress.
My darling appears almost at once.
Tristan, is that you? I wasn't expecting you until the spring. Why have you returned so soon?
I couldn't keep away, my love.
But what about your regiment, my love?
I have left the army to be with you.
Well, shall I come down?
My darling, I had no idea.
Bravo, little girl.
Indeed, Margot, a tour de force.
I pinch Rex's hand as hard as I can, hoping to draw blood. Who is that disgusting creature? I hardly recognize myself. Awkward, ugly, bad-tempered with a swollen leech-black mouth, misplaced eyebrows, creased dress. Never! That's not me. Not me. Not me.
By the third scene, I am enchanted. Of course, it's clear to all that my little Margot can't act. Although a little moody to begin with, she soon takes to it with a delightful, almost childish zeal, like a schoolgirl reciting a birthday poem.
I am awful. Awful. I look fat and clammy, like my mother in her wedding photograph. It's not me. Not me.
Margot, you clearly have a gift for comedy.
But they are not supposed to be laughing. What's wrong with them?
You beast! You shall pay dearly for this.
Effie, my dear, come back.
How can you? And with my very own aunt, with my mother's sister, with my dearest friend.
My love, it's not what you think.
But you were kissing her, Tristan. You were kissing her shamelessly so that anyone walking by could see. Oh, now I understand. You have been deceiving me from the very beginning. Oh, how blind I have been.
Yes, I was kissing her, Effie, but I was saying goodbye. It's you I love. Oh, Effie, will you marry me?
Marry you? No, I'm going to go and throw myself in the lake.
For goodness sake.
I can't go on, Rex. I can't watch anymore.
But, my dear, it's barely begun.
Stop it! Stop it! Stop it at once!
Oh!
Margot? Margot, please, this is most embarrassing. Please sit down. Excuse me. Everyone, I shall go and see what is wrong. I'm terribly sorry. I shall be back in just a few minutes. I apologize for this disturbance.
Well done, Frau Karenina. I haven't enjoyed myself so much in ages. What a farce.
The poor dear won't have much of a career after that, I assure you. It's certainly the last time I shall work with her.
And Frau Karenina, were you satisfied with your performance? At least what you saw of it?
Herr Rex, I shall tell you a little secret. A true actress is never satisfied.
All right, Margot, I'll do everything I possibly can for you, but I really don't think it was a failure. On the contrary, in several of the scenes, you acted very well. In the first one, for instance...
Hold your tongue!
But you listen to me, my pet. I'll tell you what I'll do. The film belongs to me. I shall refuse to allow it to be shown anywhere, and I'll keep it as a souvenir for myself.
No, burn it!
Very Very well, I'll burn it if that's what you want. Now, are we satisfied? Oh, come, don't cry any more, my darling. Tomorrow, you shall go and choose yourself something. A big thing on four wheels? Have you forgotten that? Then we'll drive far away and you shall see the spring in the south. Perhaps we could go on a grand tour through France and stay in the best hotels. How about that?
But that's not the point!
The point is that you should be happy. And happy you'll be. Where's that hanky?
I'll never be happy until we're married. But I'm afraid you'll leave me now that you've seen me in that disgusting film. Oh, another man in your place would have slapped their faces for making me look so monstrous. Oh, no, no, you shan't kiss me. Tell me, are you still intending to marry me? Now that your daughter's gone, you have no excuse.
May I offer a suggestion? Why do you need to hire a chauffeur for your trip? I'm rather good at driving cars, you know.
Oh, that's very kind of you. But I'm afraid to take you away from your work. We want to go a long way.
Oh, don't bother about me. I meant to take a holiday in any case.
Oh, well, I shall ask Margot how she feels about it. For my part, of course, I'd be delighted.
We'll just have to convince her then.
Convince me of what? What are you two talking about?
Margot, my pigeon, how would you feel if Rex came with us?
What? If Rex came with us to France?
Yes.
Well, Albert and I spend far too much time together as it is. I think it'll be good for us to have you along.
Well, good. So it's settled then.
Yes, but as long as you promise not to carry on about your boys all day. I know it's all very absorbing for you, Rex, but for us it tends to get a little tedious.
I promise you, Margot, on that particular subject I shall seal my lips. Now, is it you to serve?
Roads bordered with apple trees and then with plum trees are lapped up by the front tires, endlessly. The weather is fine, and towards night the steel cells of the radiator are crammed with dead bees, dragonflies, meadow browns. Rex drives wonderfully, reclining lazily on the very low front seat and manipulating the steering wheel with a tender and dreamy touch. Shortly before reaching the coast, our last stopping place is a small town called Rouginard.
And this is the double room, monsieur, with the bathroom attached.
Albert, I don't understand why we can't drive onto the sea.
Oh, but really, this is quite nice for one night, Margot, and the village itself is said to be marvellous.
Oh, gush away, gush away.
We have also run your bath, monsieur, as requested. I hope you don't mind sharing a bathroom with the young gentleman next door.
What gentleman?
Why, Rex, of course. Are you quite sure you haven't got another single room for him?
Nonsense. It's all right. This will have to do. I refuse to traipse around any longer. I'm having first bath.
I watch a couple of Margot's light undergarments, one stocking and then another, fly swiftly through the air. Little slattern.
Oh, you needn't lock yourself in. I'm not going to turn you out.
I'm just attacking the bristles around my Adam's apple and wondering whether they'll have lobsters à l'américaine. But I hear a strange groan coming from the bathroom.
Margot? Darling? What on earth are you doing in there? Margot?
I went to sleep in the bath.
Oh, well, you frightened me.
I'll be out in a moment.
She emerges a few minutes later looking fresh and radiant and begins to smother herself with talcum powder. She lets me kiss her flushed-looking cheek before I go through to the bathroom.
By the time Albert returns to the bedroom, I'm dressed already. My blood's still singing with the glory, the violence, the ecstasy of Rex.
I like this place tremendously, darling. We'll stay here a long, long time.
A week passes, and a second. The days are cloudless. Sometimes we drive to a beautiful sandy beach set in dark red rocks against an inky blue sea. Pine-clad hills surround the beach and our hotel.
I am much admired. By a silk manufacturer from Dijon, by a quiet Englishman who collects beetles, and by the boys I play tennis with. But no matter who stares at me or dances with me, Albert seems free from jealousy. Whatever attentions come my way, he knows I spend most of my time with Rex.
I keep to myself for the most part, occupying much of the time with the study of French Rococo interiors. One morning, however, when I'm about to make my way down to the tennis court to find Margot, I happen to fall into conversation with a retired German colonel who has been occupying a room on our floor.
Fine morning, eh?
Very fine.
And where are the two lovers today?
I beg your pardon?
I must say, you really should encourage them not to carry on the way they do in public. Makes an old man envious.
I'm afraid I'm not at all sure whom you mean.
What? I mean that young German couple you spend all your time with. Who else could I mean? Now, the other day, on the Rouge in our bus, they were making quite an exhibition of themselves, talking about their lovemaking behind the tennis courts as if they believed not a soul could understand what they said.
I'm afraid... What German couple?
Well, the pair you have dinner with every evening. The young fellow is kissing the girl quite shamelessly. He had his hand on her breast, too. Do you think he believed his gestures could not be understood just because his language could not? Well, I thought it was taking things a bit too far.
Yes, of course. Well, I must apologize on their behalf. I must say, are you quite sure it was them?
Well, of course I'm sure, my dear fellow. What other young German couple is staying at this hotel? As I say, it made me rather envious. But it's not good for an old man's health, you know. And that girl, I mean, such a lively, pretty little thing, too. She quite turned my head.
I do not recall saying goodbye to the colonel. Like someone walking in his sleep, I return to my room. Our room. It is empty. The bed is still unmade. Some coffee has been spilled and a butter knife gleams on the white rug. Then I see her through the window, coming up through the bushes that surround the tennis courts. She looks up and stops.
Margot, come here. I want a word with you.
I find what I'm looking for in the pocket of my yellow camel hair overcoat. They have been deceiving me. Steadily, astutely, artistically.
Will Madame permit me to fetch the tray?
Yes, come inside. What do you want? You might have come down, you know, instead of calling me up so rudely. It's absurd. No matter how much of this stuff I put on my skin, I still burn. You need to buy better lotion than this, Albert.
Merci, monsieur, madame.
Albert? What's that you're holding? What on earth is the matter, Albert? Stop pointing that gun at me, you fool.
Stand up. I place my hand around her throat for a moment. I feel the sun still hot on her skin. The dark thump of blood.
I won't stand up. Let me go. Look, you've made me spill cream on the floor. Oh, fine. Kill me. Please do. It'll be just like that play we saw with the nigger and the handkerchief, and I'm just as innocent as she was.
You lie! You and that scoundrel, nothing but trickery and deceit.
Please put that thing down. I won't speak to you until you have. I don't know what's happened, and I don't want to. I only know one thing. I am faithful to you.
All
I am
right.
Faithful.
You can say what you have to say, but after that, you shall die.
You needn't kill me. Really, you needn't, darling.
Go on, speak.
I can't speak when you're pointing that thing. Please put it away.
No. First of all, you must confess. I've got information. I know all. I know all. He sat behind you on that bus, and you behaved like lovers. Oh, of course I shall kill you.
Who? What are you talking about?
A German colonel. He saw you. He was sitting right behind you.
Yes, I thought as much. I knew that you wouldn't understand. For God's sake, put that thing down, Albert.
What is there to understand? What is there to be explained?
In the first case, Albert, you know very well that Rex doesn't care for women.
Shut up! That was a base lie, a disgusting trick from the beginning.
No, Albert, he really doesn't care for women. But the other day, for a joke, I suggested to him, look here, let's see whether I can't make you forget your boys. Oh, we both knew it was only a joke. That was all. That
a
was all,
lie.
Darling.
Lie. I don't believe it. The colonel saw you. He heard every word. I've been blind.
Albert, we just pretended. We were fooling around. We were just trying to shock the other people on the bus.
And if I questioned him? Not in your presence, of course. Not in your presence.
Do, by all means. He'll tell you exactly the same. Only you'll make yourself look ridiculous.
But he said you were posting about making love behind the tennis courts. What was that about?
Albert, you're so slow sometimes. I've told you already. We made it up.
Very well, Margot. I'll believe you. But I tell you next time, I'll shoot you, no questions asked. Now get up immediately and change your clothes. We're going to pack our things at once and leave this place. I'm not physically equal to meeting Axel Rex right now. I can't answer for myself. No, not because I believe that you have deceived me with him. No, not on that account. But I simply can't do it. I've pictured it all to myself too vividly. And well, no matter. Come, get up.
Kiss me.
No. Not now. I want to get away from here as soon as possible. I almost shot you in this room. And I certainly shall if we don't pack our things at once. At once.
Well, as you like. But please remember, Albert, that you've insulted me and my love for you in the worst manner possible. I suppose you'll understand that later.
When she's not looking, I wrap the can in the silk handkerchief and return the bundle to my pocket. How strange. It seems it isn't over. It isn't over yet.
Having left Rex at the hotel with not even a note of explanation, we somehow managed to get the car through Rouginar, which is a bit of a miracle seeing as it's Albert who's driving. Now we're accelerating at a ridiculous speed towards the hills.
Do you mind telling me where we're going, Albert? And please do keep to the right. Oh, if you can't drive, we'd better take a train or hire a chauffeur at the nearest garage.
Wherever we go, I shall not escape this pain.
The young fellow was kissing the girl quite shamelessly. He had his hand on her breast, too.
I shall go mad.
I won't ask you again, but for God's sake, don't wobble before the bends. Oh, if you only knew how my head aches. I just want to be going somewhere.
You swear to me there was nothing in it?
Of course I swear. By the way, I'm hot. I want to take off my coat. You needn't stop, Albert. Oh, dear.
Oh, Margot. I love you so much. So much. Now, give me your hands. How soft they are. Like two pale pigeons that have fallen from the sky. Hold me.
Oh, Albert, you are silly. Now, will you let me drive? You know I'm far better at it than you.
No, I'm improving. Oh, Margot. I suddenly feel so much better. It's as if a great distorting darkness is being lifted, and now I can see. We will be all right, won't we?
Of course we will.
I know we will. But come, let us go in search of somewhere for my Margot to eat. Are you hungry, my pet?
I'm totally starved. Albert, watch out for those cyclists. Albert, you idiot! Albert, what are you doing?
Oh, God!
Thank you.
it hadn't been for the telegraph post, we'd have plunged over the parapet and into the precipice. It was appalling. I still have a huge bruise on my hip. The car turned a somersault and smashed like an egg.
Margot?
Oh, God. He's wailing for me again. Can't he give me a moment's peace?
Come. We can give Monsieur Albert another pill. He's in a lot of pain, le pauvre.
Albert! What are you doing? Why did you turn your light off?
I wanted to see...
But, monsieur, you're not allowed to remove your bandage. Where have you put it?
I just wanted to see. Could you turn the light back on now?
It is on, Albert. Do you think we'd be standing here in the dark?
No, you're trying to fool me. Please, Margot, just turn on the light.
Calmez-vous, monsieur. You must not excite yourself.
I can't. I'm going mad. Open the window. Do something.
The window is open.
Perhaps there is no sun. Margot, perhaps I'll see something in sunny weather. The merest glimmer, perhaps with glasses.
Let me go, you fool. The sun is shining. It's a glorious morning outside. Albert, you hurt me. Don't ever do that again.
Margot!
Come now, monsieur. Be a good boy and let me replace your bandage. You see? We must shut out the light. And you must remain calm. You must remain quite still.
Morning, Albert.
Margot, is that you? Hello, my love.
Sleep well?
I think so, yes.
Now, listen, darling. There's something I have to tell you.
Oh, what is it?
A letter arrived this morning from Rex. Would you like me to read it?
Yes, if you would.
I don't know, my dear Albert, what staggered me most. The wrong you did me by your inexplicable departure
or the misfortune which has befallen you. But, although you have wounded me deeply, I sympathize wholeheartedly with your misfortune, especially when I think of your love for painting and for those beauties of color and line which make sight the prince of all our senses. I am travelling today from Paris to England and thence to New York, and it will be some time before I see Germany again. Please convey my greetings to your companion, whose fickle and spoiled nature was presumably the cause of your disloyalty toward me. Alas, like so many women, she is only constant in relation to herself.
Yes, that is certainly the letter of a homosexual. But all the same, I'm glad he's gone. Perhaps, Margot, God has punished me for mistrusting you, but woe betide you if...
If what, Albert? Go on, finish your sentence.
No, nothing. I believe you. I believe you. The prince of all our senses. The prince of all our senses. The prince of all our senses. Yes, the prince.
Come on, Albert, please. Don't moan like that. Try to be a brave doggy. Please, I can't stand this any longer.
It's okay, you can leave us, mademoiselle.
Oh, hello. You.
Well, didn't I word it cutely?
It went down all right.
What an awful noise he makes. Is that really him?
Unfortunately, yes. Now, listen. We're leaving for Berlin on Wednesday to consult another specialist. Can you see about the tickets?
If you like.
But book your seat in a different carriage. It'll be safer.
I doubt they'll let me have the tickets for nothing.
Oh.
Thanks. And as a general thing, it would be much simpler if I were the cashier.
Ah, how glad I am to be home. Oh,
I'll soon get used to tapping my way around here. Tap, 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 tap. You know, Margot, I know these rooms as well as I know your face. Yes, yes. I'll soon be able to find my way around.
Yes, Albert, I'm sure you will. Porter, why don't you leave the luggage in the hall? We can deal with it later.
Of course, madam.
What a clot.
Kiss me.
You think you could run me a bath, Margot? I feel so hot and sticky after all that sitting in the car.
Yes, in a minute. I just want to pay the porter first.
Of course, my dove, I leave all that to you.
So did you see my brother, Otto? He's waiting outside.
Don't worry. I'll go and speak to him.
Ask him if he's found a buyer for the pictures.
I will. We need to get this place cleared as quickly and quietly as possible before he smells a rat. Otto?
Oh, sir.
Axel Rex. Well, do you have a buyer?
Yes, sir. The prices must be pretty low. I didn't even need to argue.
So, when can he come?
Whenever you like, sir.
Excellent. Well, tell him to come tomorrow night at about 8. I shall make sure Margot takes her invalid out. Will, that be enough for the moment?
Well, thank you, sir. That'll do nicely.
Ah, you know, my kitten, perhaps this is all for the best. Our love is purer now and loftier. The fact that you've stuck with me shows that you really love me. That's good, don't you agree? Oh, that feels very good. You have such strong hands.
Albert, please keep still. Rex enters the room with a cup of tea for me and kisses my throat. Then he arranges himself on the windowsill, a smile beginning to touch his lips.
What is that, Margot? Margot, what is that?
Oh, just a little yellow bird, Albert. Now, bend your head down.
Margot, please, drive it away.
Shoo, shoo. It's just a bird, Albert. Shoo, go away.
Has it gone?
Yes. I've closed the window. Are you happy now?
I don't know. Margot, are you sure we're quite alone?
Of course I am. Who else would be here?
There's no one else in the house?
Albert, stop being silly. Of course there isn't. Now lean forward so I can dry your hair properly.
Rex steps forward and drops a towel on Albert's head. With his artist's hands, he begins to massage Albert's head while I watch from the window drinking tea.
Oh, yes, Margot, for such a little thing as you, you really do have such strong hands. Margot, what on earth was that?
What was what, Albert, darling?
Oh, never mind.
An endless night separates me from my former life, which I remember in brightly lit, colourful little scenes, like rooms lit up deep inside a remote and impenetrable fortress. I see Margot in a silvery evening gown with sunburnt shoulders, or I watch her standing naked in front of a mirror, gnawing a peach. Only occasionally do I think of my wife, who seems steeped in a pale, subdued light. But now and again, I glimpse her fair hair in the glow of a lamp, with the sound of Irma in the background, playing with marbles. With marbles, yes. A rainbow in every one. But of Irma herself, I cannot think. My mind withdraws from the idea of her and floats off, a strange, distraught ghost drifting alone through a lunar landscape. Yes. Yes. I sometimes suspect I'm going a little mad. For example, I have recently become convinced that there are other people in the house besides Margot and the new cook, who is quite deaf, apparently. I might hear the papery tread of bare feet passing across the wooden floorboards at the very same moment that I can distinguish the sounds of Margot and the cook coming from the kitchen. And sometimes, especially when I'm eating, I will hear a sigh or a little cough. And once, when I was quite alone in the house, a book slammed inexplicably on the floor behind me, making me leap up from my chair and shout out in fright. And did I not hear a little breathy snigger in the silence afterwards? Or did I just imagine it? At times, I have even come to suspect the presence of my dead child in the house, circling me, probing me, inviting me to come and join her. But I have no desire to join her, since every day I spend hours reveling in the sweet, intoxicating presence of my lovely little Margot, who occasionally allows me to touch her, even though she tells me the doctor has advised against it.
Oh, hurt!
Oh, my little Margot. How often do I find your name on my lips?
Margot? Margot? Margot?
My darling must have wandered off. Sometimes she brings me here to the tear garden. We have picnics in the sun, although the flies are terrible. They alight on my face constantly. They aim for my lips. Can they sense I'm blind, defenseless? Do flies know when we can't see them? Like vultures they are, moving in for the kill.
God, look at him crawling around. Such a dog.
You really shouldn't torment him so, Rex. Although it does make me laugh when you tickle him with grass. He says the flies have never been so bad. He blames the dry weather.
Well, I advise you not to insist on marriage. He's come to look on his wife as a precious saint painted on glass. He'll not want to smash that particular church window.
Margot, where are you?
No, it's simpler and better to carry on with our plan and get hold of his fortune swiftly.
Well, we've already got hold of quite a bit of it, haven't we?
Tell him to sell that land he has in Pomerania, and also that house in Vorpsfeder. And we'll sell the rest of his pictures and furniture through Otto. For the time being, the checkbook answers our needs admirably. He signs everything like a machine. But his bank accounts will soon run dry. It'd be nice to leave him, say, this autumn. And before we go, we'll buy him a small dog as a token of our gratitude.
Don't talk so loud. Here he comes.
Margot, darling? Who are you talking to?
How dare you wander so far by yourself?
But where did you go? I was calling you.
I wanted to catch a squirrel. What did you think I was doing?
I fancied... Who's there?
There's no one here. I'm quite alone. Why are you in such a state?
Oh, take me back to the house. There are too many sounds in the garden here. Trees, winds, squirrels, flies, and things I cannot name. I don't know what's happening around me. It's all so silent and so noisy.
Well, from now on, you shall be shut in.
Margot, are you sure you haven't given me chicken and cabbage again? This doesn't taste like ham.
Of course it's ham, Albert. What do you think? Do you think I give you chicken 2 days in a row?
When I think Margot isn't looking, I feel my food with my hands to make sure. It always feels like chicken to me.
And stop playing with your food. Can't you use a knife and fork? How low are you going to sink, Albert?
Without another word, I take up my knife and fork and try to find food to eat. Why am I never angry with her, I wonder? Something in me has drained away. It seems I forgive all. One. Two. 3 o'clock. It says 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock. At night. My last meal. Dinner. Yes, dinner. But I'm filled with an uneasy strangeness. Something's hindering me from those grave and beautiful thoughts, those thoughts which have... But what is it? Seems to lie in front of me, as if I could reach out and touch it. Is it Emma? Elizabeth? No. They're far away somewhere. Dear, pale, sorrowful shades, I must never disturb.
Must think of Margot. Margot, yes. Perhaps we'll touch her lips with tongue. Can touch her lips with tongue, then go away. My little Margot, why shouldn't I go to her? Margot? Margot, love? Margot? She isn't here. Margot? Where's her bed got to? Am I in the right room? Where's the furniture gone? Seems empty. Everything's emptied away. Margot? 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 Nothing left.
Shut up, you dog. I'm here.
What happened, my love? I couldn't find your bed.
I moved it.
But where were you? Where have you been?
On the balcony, lying in the sun, as I do every morning.
But now it's night. I can't understand. There's something wrong somewhere. I know because I heard the clock. Do you hate me, Margot? You see, I know it's 3 o'clock. I heard the chime.
As Albert jabbers on, Rex silently enters the room. He pauses, a casual hand resting on a tilted hip, like one of those Greek sculptures Albert was once so fond of. Rex hasn't bothered to cover himself. The dark root between his legs still stands upright, still glistening from our interrupted sex.
Stop talking rubbish, Albert. It's 10 o'clock in the morning and a lovely sunny day. There's something wrong with the clock and you've been asleep.
Margot, is it really the morning? Are you telling the truth?
You know I don't like you walking around by yourself, Albert. You could fall and break your neck. You must wait for me to come and fetch you.
I know, but wanted to see you.
Oh. Well, Albert, although it's day, if you like, dearest, as a great exception...
But, Margot... Are we quite alone?
Oh, don't worry about that.
But just as Albert is about to reach me, Rex steps forward and places himself between us. With his soft girl's hand, he grabs and lifts Albert's rough paw, running his lips across the knuckles and then drawing the hand around his neck and down his stomach.
Oh, Margot, how I've longed for you.
I watch Albert's feeble sex rise inside his pants, and I think of a record that is stuck, and I wonder how much longer I'm going to be able to go on with this.
How strong you are, my love. Like a young boy, like my very own Kouros. Come closer, my love. Come, hold me.
Soundlessly, I move Rex aside and step into the place where he stood, so that Albert's hand, which had just latched onto Rex's buttock, gropes into space for a moment before finding my waist, my breast, the nipple that Rex has just sucked.
Oh, Margot. What about the cook?
Don't worry, Albert. If the cook comes in, then she's welcome to watch.
As I lower myself onto Albert's lap, I glance across at Rex, who has backed against the wall with a cruel... perplexed, slightly petulant expression on his face. How much do you care? I want to ask him. How much can you take?
Margot, what was that?
Nothing. Only the wind. Come on, Albert, if we're going to do this, then you'll have to hurry up.
God, I really think I must be going mad.
Rex cares, I tell myself, as Albert pokes and probes at me with his little grub. He must. He must. He must.
Yes. Almost like the old times. Golden butter, light in my arms, lips like fruit, sweet hair in my mouth. Oh, Margot. Fanny left me in the bath again. Was I sleeping? Started loud talking, too, I think. Thinking sometimes, sometimes talking. Losing track of which is which. Small breasts in my hands. The long, sleek slide of spine. Hot, soft muscle along her hip. Firm, nearly boyish buttocks. My little Margot. Small word, Margot. Easily said, but so much. And so much. Hello? Who said that? What are you laughing at? What was that? Margot? Margot? Someone in the bathroom here. Please, come quick. Tell me, what is it you want? Go away. You hear? Go away. Go away. Shoo, shoo. Margot? Is that you? Help me, please. There's something in here. Margot?
Axel?
What?
Rex.
What? That man is in America. Tell me, that man is in America.
Axel Rex is in Berlin.
What is this? Who are you? Tell me your name.
Really, Albert, you oughtn't to shout like that. The doctor expressly ordered peace and quiet.
It's you, isn't it? Good God, it's you!
But are we off now? Tell Margot, would you? I think I have just about everything I want.
Come here, you! Come here!
Tell her that I've enjoyed our time together. But it couldn't go on forever, now could it?
You've been here all along, haven't you? You've been living here in my house!
Your house, Albert? Run your hands along the walls. Run your hands along the floor. I think you'll find there's really nothing left.
Come here, you! Come back! Yes, yes, now I see it all. I see it all. They've been deceiving me from the very beginning. Artistically. Artistically. But no more. Now I see everything. All very simple. Need my overcoat, my yellow camel hair overcoat hanging in my room. Need my overcoat, that is all, and then I must speak to her. Quite close, quite close. Perhaps she's here already. Perhaps she's come back. No, not yet. Quite close. Need to speak to her. Quite close. Ah. Yes. Yes. There, there. 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 Good. Now, wait. Just behind the door. And then, quite close. Yes, Margot. Now we'll see. Now we'll see. Blood will have blood. Reminds me of an axe. Blood will have blood. Reminds me of an axe.
I think you'll find there's really nothing left.
Hello? I'm home. Albert? What are you doing?
Come here, Margot. Let me kiss you.
What's going on?
Why are you wearing that ridiculous coat?
Ridiculous coat? Ridiculous coat? Well, Margot, come here. I demand it.
You what? What's got into you? Don't you dare speak to me like that.
Don't you dare? Your dog? Your dog? Well, Margot, no more.
Albert, you're making me extremely angry. What have you got there? What are you hiding from me?
Margot, come here. Margot, come here. Come on, come to me, you bitch. You bitch. Come to me, Margot. Quite close. Quite close.
Jesus Christ, you idiot! Put that thing down!
Come here. Margot! 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 Think you can fool me, eh? Well, come. 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 Come! Come.
So that's all. I must keep quiet for a little space and then walk very slowly along the bright sand of pain towards that dark blue wave coming towards me. What bliss there is in blueness. I never knew how huge it could be. What a mess life has been. Now I know everything. Coming. Coming. Coming to drown me. There it is. How it hurts.
He sits on the floor with bowed head, bends slowly forward and falls sideways, like a big soft doll.
The final scene, then. It's as if I can see it all. The coffee table on its side, with shards of pale blue china spilled like petals across the floor. The Persian carpet bulging near my mouth in a frozen wave as I swallow dark blood, lick my lips. And the door, leading from the hall to the landing. The door through which Margot has escaped. It will be wide open, exactly as she has left it.
In Laughter in the Dark by Vladimir Nabokov, Albert Albinus was played by Roger Allen, Margot Peters, Claire Price, and Axel Rex, Alan Cox. Elizabeth was Geraldine Alexander, Irma, Lauren Bird, Frida, Sarah Bedell, and Otto, Dale Rapley. Carl Schwartz was Ewan Bailey, the Colonel, David Shaw Parker, and the Chambermaid, Tracy Wiles. The composer and sound designer was Howard Davidson. Laughter in the Dark was dramatized by Craig Higginson, directed by Mariah Aitken, and is a Catherine Bailey production for BBC Radio 3.